The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello out there, everyone in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host for tonight's show and future shows, folks. Here we go. We hope to have a very good show tonight. And telephone number here is 251-343-0106. You can also send us a text at that number, and we'll try and answer your text, okay? If it's a good text. If it's bad, forget about it. Forget about it. All right, folks, we got to have a good show tonight. We have a very important guest coming on, and he is an expert in global finance, and he has found out a lot of things about especially the Democratic administration dating back from 2008, and it's relevant to what's happening today. So without further ado, folks, we're going to introduce you to Dr. Edison Walters. Edison, are you there?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Great, great, doctor. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm actually a first-generation American. I was actually born in the country of Trinidad and Tobago, and my parents migrated to the U.S. Virgin Islands when I was about 3 years old. So I grew up in the U.S. Virgin Islands on the island of St. Croix, which happened to be the childhood home of one of our founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, because like me, he migrated from island in the country in the Caribbean to the United States Virgin Islands, and there he spent his formative years before he moved to the continental United States to become one of our founding fathers.
All right, doctor, that's good. Now, you're also familiar with Alabama. Tell our audience a little bit about your stay in Alabama.
Well, I actually spent quite a bit of time in Alabama. I'm a graduate of the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, and I actually lived in Alabama for about 25 years after I graduated from the University of Alabama. Matter of fact, after I graduated from the University of Alabama, my very first job was an actual unpaid volunteer, and I helped set up a community development loan fund that was geared toward creating economic development by investing in small business in throughout the Black Belt of Alabama. So, I've spent a lot of time in Alabama. I've actually spent more time in Alabama than anywhere else in my life. So, you can say I'm an Alabamian.
I understand. Now, Doc, you did your PhD dissertation on global finance. Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Well, I was actually in the mortgage business in 2008, and so I had a front row seat to the crash. The interesting story about how I ended up in the mortgage business, as a result of being involved with the community developing the community developed loan fund, I recognized one of the biggest challenges facing a lot of small business owners was the access to capital through lending. And the main reason why it was an issue was because small business owners generally wrote off all their income because self-employment tax was such a punitive tax. So when they came into the loan fund to try to borrow money, the problem with one business after the other is they never had any income. And I found out about programs that could help them in the mortgage industry. And so that's how I ended up in the mortgage industry. And I did a lot of, helped a lot of small business owners with no income verification or bank statements program because they simply didn't have the income on their taxes. And so with me understanding that the access to capital was such a significant problem, especially in the minority community, the whole idea that people got loans that they didn't qualify for and that the no income asset verifications was a big problem didn't make any sense to me because I saw it as the solution of a problem. So I never bought into all the explanations of the real estate crash. I was very skeptical about that from the beginning. And I also helped, I also saw the policies that were being put in place as something was that was going to be counterproductive. I thought it would hurt the American people more than it solved the problem. And so after trying to work to try to get people to understand that there was significant problems with the story being told, I really didn't get anywhere with that. So in 2011, I decided, hey, I need to go back to school, get my master's, and then get my doctorate degree so I can actually do the research and publish my findings about what exactly caused the real estate crash and what the implications were from subprime mortgages on the entire crash and pretty much gain a full understanding of exactly what happened because I felt the narrative was completely false.
All right, Doc. And I'll doing your research for your PhD or your doctorate, what were some of the things that you found out that was man-made and was not true?
Well, when I worked on my doctorate degree, what I did was I actually focused on understanding if there was an existence of a financial bubble. Because in the words of the great Alan Greenspan, his explanation was an overabundance of capital flowing into developed countries created a financial bubble that gave rise to a real estate bubble. So the first thing I wanted to know was if there was ever a financial bubble. So I did an analysis of 32 developed countries and 34 developing countries, and I published a dissertation that came to the conclusion that there was no financial bubble. And if, in fact, there was no financial bubble, it raised serious questions about whether a real estate bubble ever existed. And I presented a theory that called Edison Walters' risk expectation theory of the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008 that explained a more likely scenario was misinformation, heightened risk expectations so high that people simply was afraid of mortgage-backed securities and that fear led to people dumping mortgage-backed securities, and so the crash was not based on any fundamentals. It was simply based on misinformation that caused the real estate crash.
Now, Doctor, we got about another half a minute before our break, and then I'll ask you the question, and then you can wait until after the break to answer it. But doing that so-called bubble, a lot of people lost their homes, their stocks, you know, the money in their stocks and savings and everything. Well, when we get back, can you tell us, and also that some of the folks who were responsible for not fixing that situation are still in Washington now. So when we get back, we would like for you to respond and tell us who are some of those folks and what did they do to make the situation work. Would that be all right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, folks, Dr. Addison Walters is here, and he's going to enlighten us. In order to bring us up to date, he has to take us back to when it first started and how folks who are still in Washington are somewhat responsible for making it work. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. I am here again on a mission, folks. And we're here with Dr. Edson Wharton, who is a global finance expert. And I asked him some questions prior to the break. Doc, are you ready to respond?
Yes, I am. Let me explain something to your listening audience, and then we'll get into the actual questions that you asked me before we went to the break. Now, once I graduated and published my research proving there was no financial bubble, my second research follow-up on the topic, I actually analyzed data to understand whether there was a real estate bubble. And my research showed that every reason they gave why we had a real estate bubble was false. Subprime loans, it wasn't enough subprime loans given to even significantly affect the market. So subprime loans never caused a real estate bubble. They said interest rates were too low for too long. Well, interest rates were significantly lower at the time I did my research. So that ruled out the fact that there was a real estate bubble. And they said people bought homes with nothing down. In fact, the research shows people put larger down payments down to purchase homes with subprime loans than they did with conventional loans. So all of that turned up false. And then I started investigating factors that I thought may have actually led to the significant increase in home prices. And I analyzed advancement in technology, and I ended up, my findings of my research showed 99% of the increase in home prices was as a result of advancement in technology being incorporated into the real estate and mortgage industry. Now, I want folks to think about this for a second. Between 1995 and 99, the mortgage industry and the real estate industry changed significantly. Prior to 95, we had no online listings. If you wanted to purchase a home, the people in the immediate area of that home who could physically drive to the home, they got a real estate book, they looked through the book, and they drove to the house to visit the house. So somebody putting a home on the market may have had a couple hundred potential home buyers. Well, by 99, real estate listings had went from 95 to 99, real estate listings went from no listings online to 100% online. Now, an individual putting a home on the market, instead of having a couple hundred customers looking at that home, he may have had 200,000 customers looking at the home. So the increase in demand for homes literally increased, not just doubled or tripled, it increased by thousands because anybody anywhere in the world could view a home that was listed online. You were no longer limited to a couple hundred people in the immediate area who could drive to the home. So the demand significantly increased, and that's what caused home prices to increase. But not only did the demand for homes increase because we had a lot more potential home buyers, the mortgages went from where you had to go to the bank and sit down with a loan officer, take your briefcase full of papers. He would shuffle through your papers for about 2 weeks. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, you'd hear back from the bank, hey, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, you're approved for mortgage, and you can start shopping for a house. Well, by 1995, we had online mortgage applications. So someone shopping for a home could fill out an online application and get an approval within minutes, an instant approval. And so we not only had more people shopping for homes, we had more people qualified to buy homes. And so in 2008, when the market crashed, we had the healthiest real estate market in the history of our country with record low foreclosures. But what happened is the Democratic Party started a political narrative of a real estate bubble, and they kept on saying there's a real estate bubble and the market's going to crash, and George W. Bush screwed up our real estate market. And they kept beating the drums, but essentially it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's sad because at the time we had record low foreclosures. My analysis showed that foreclosures in the country did not spike until several years after the subprime mortgage industry was destroyed.
Now that, hold on, let me interject some question. That was prior to. That was after President Bush had left office, correct? And President Obama came in.
The narrative started during the election. Mm-hmm. And what happened is the Democrats took control of the House, the White House, the House, and the Senate. And what they did after the election, they passed laws with Elizabeth Warren as chairperson of HARP Oversight Committee, and the things that they did actually made the situation worse and brought our economy to destruction. Matter of fact, their policies actually caused the Great Recession and the entire world financial system to almost collapse. We should have been building to keep up with the newly found demand in the housing industry. What happened with Obama as president, they passed Dodd-Frank. And what Dodd-Frank did was it restricted mortgage lending at a time when the biggest challenge facing our country was a lack of mortgage lending. The problem in 2008 was simply an issue of a lack of lending, and what we needed to do was we needed to make lending more liberal to keep up with the demand and allow people to have opportunities to refinance their homes. And instead, what they did was they restricted mortgage lending.
But they you mentioned Elizabeth Warren.
Let me finish explaining this real quick. They didn't just restrict mortgage lending. They only restricted mortgage lending for homeowners. Investors had the full use of subprime loans, and they could buy as many houses as they wanted with subprime loans. So subprime loans never ended for a real estate investors, but they restricted it for homeowners, which put homeowners at a significant disadvantage. Now, at the time they passed that law, President Biden was vice president, Chuck Schumer was majority leader, and Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House, and Elizabeth Warren was chairperson of TARP Oversight Committee. And what the law that they passed so restricted mortgage lending that it actually put the entire world into a global recession. Yes, folks, you heard it right. The same band of characters that are running the country today are solely responsible for the Great Recession, where millions of Americans lost their home. We had a worldwide economic downturn. People lost money in the stock market. People lost their life savings. Business owners had businesses closed. And people are wondering what's going on today. I mean, if you look at what they did in 2008, all the misinformation and lies that completely destroyed the world's economy, and a lot of people haven't even recovered from 2008 before the latest things they've done. And if you look back at 2008 after they got elected, gas prices went through the ceiling because they adopted the same policies that they're adopting today, and that helped destroy our economy in 2008. And we're reaping the cost of the destruction, because what you see happening today, we're on the verge of a housing crisis because home prices are skyrocketing, which is significantly influencing rents. Rents are going up. We have high inflation, and people, moderately income people, are on the verge of being homeless. We have a significant crisis that is here, and it's a looming crisis, and Washington is not doing anything about it. The Democrats are in control, and they have their head in the sand. They don't even understand the disaster they created in 2008 that continues to plague us today.
That's heavy, Doc. That's very heavy. What you compared 2008, 2010 with this administration that was that's in here now, and it appeared to me they're doing the same thing. What are the solutions? I know the solutions is to get them out of there, get them out of office, and we're going to do that. Okay, but we'll continue after these messages, Doc, okay? All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
I'm back on. All right, folks, we're still on our mission, and we have Dr. Edson Walters, who's an expert on global finances, and he's trying to explain to us what happened in 2008, 2010 under the Obama administration with Joe Biden as the vice president, Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. They're still here, folks, and look how they've screwed up the economy now, all right? Doc, what else do you have for our audience?
Well, I know, you know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, about my research. And one thing I want to point out, what we see happening here today is a global financial crisis, a global crisis as a result of policies here in the United States. And what I want the listening audience to know that I actually expanded my research to 15 developed countries around the world, including countries like Canada, Australia, France, Finland, the UK, Italy, Spain, and just well-developed countries. And in all those countries, about 95% of the increase in their home prices was also as a result of technology changes. So the people who question and say, oh, well, the global financial crisis, the crash was all around the world. How did that happen? It happened because the same misinformation that influenced the United States real estate market also influenced the world real estate market. And, you know, when you look at what's happening today with the rapid increase in gas prices, they adopted the same green policies in 2008, and gas prices skyrocketed back then, and that also led to the Great Recession. So we had an issue with rapidly increasing home prices because of the shortage in demand, which is the same thing that's happening today. We had an issue with rapidly increasing gas prices because they tried to push us into these green technologies and renewable energy that costs astronomic, that has astronomic costs, and they abandoned an our abundance of American energy. They abandoned the American energy market in favor of these green energy policies. And that actually also helped destroy our economy and led to the Great Recession, just like we're seeing what's going on today. So, I mean, if you're wondering whether we're going into a recession, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden was in office the last time we went into a recession. We also had adopted green energy policies that significantly increased the cost of gas the last time we went into a recession. So people can start adding one and one and see if they come up with two.
Now, Doc, you also mentioned the global warming and all that stuff. What do you think about that, climate change?
Well, first of all, one of the problems is Republicans have not really pushed back a whole lot on the issues of global warming, on the issue of global warming. I actually have a paper that's already completed that should be coming out real soon that address what we call change in factors in research. When we do research under the assumption that all else is equal. In other words, if we're looking at changes in temperature, we're saying everything else is the same. The only difference is temperature changing, and then we can draw conclusions. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at global warming and climate change, everything constantly changes. When you look at Neptune, which is the outermost planet, it takes Neptune 165 years to rotate the sun. So we operate on a 165-year cycle of changes with the climate, because the greatest factor that affects climate is the gravitational interaction within the solar system, and it goes through a continuous cycle of change every 165 years. In order to even begin trying to understand what is causing climate change, you would have to have over 1,000 years of data points, because you'd need over 1,000 years of data points just to have 7 reliable data points to start analyzing the climate change. We've only kept track of climate change data since the 1800s. So we barely even have 2 data points, and that's simply not even enough to make any kind of assessment. So we're throwing trillions of dollars at climate change policies. We have a global housing crisis. We have families at risk of being homeless. We have all these other problems, and we're throwing trillions of dollars at the solution to a problem that we don't even know exists. And if you think about it, one of the biggest things that they talk about is with climate change is sea level rise. The gravitational pull can lower and increase the sea level in some places around the world 30 feet in 30 hours. So, you know, the whole idea of us having the audacity to think that man could literally change the course of what's happening in terms of climate is a complete joke, and there is absolutely no scientific foundation for climate change research. Climate change research is literally junk science. It's the definition of junk science, And they're using junk science to destroy American energy, and there is literally no hope of climate change policies making any difference in the climate, because the natural cycle of 165-year cycle, at times the Earth is going to warm, at times the Earth is going to cool, depending on how far the planets are away from each other. Because the planets rotate the sun in an elliptical fashion. That's more shape, the shape of an egg. So at times, planets are going to be very close over the course of the 165-year cycle, and other times, planets are going to be very far away, and that will have a significant effect on the climate.
Now, Doc,
what
do you think about all this money is spent on this so-called false narrative with global warming and all that?
Well, what we see happening today is we literally have a housing crisis at hand. Moderately income people, what's happening is this. You have these corporations came in after the market crashed, and the laws, lending laws, favor investors rather than homeowners. So it put corporations and investors at a significant advantage to buy up all this real estate at a discount. One of the main factors that continue to one of the factors that contributes to the increase in home prices and the shortage in inventories, you have these same real estate holding companies and investors and hedge funds. Today, they're literally buying entire neighborhoods before one house in the entire subdivision is built. And what they're doing is they're further distorting the real estate market and making the shortage for homes even more significant. And another factor that's significantly driving the increase in home prices and contributing to our looming homelessness is the flood of illegal immigrants coming into the country, because these people are competing for the same housing on the lower end of the market where the shortage is significant. So we have several factors that are happening right now that are leading to continued skyrocketing prices and you know, leading us straight into another Great Recession. Well, we may not even be able to call it a Great Recession. This one may be the Greater Recession, rather, because we already had a Great Recession. But this coming recession, I believe things are going to get much worse than it did in the last recession. Matter of fact, there's no end in sight for the increase in home prices, because the shortage is so significant, because at a time when we should have been building homes like crazy, construction of new homes was sidelined for about 6 years when we should have been building like crazy to keep up with demand. My research explained technology was responsible for 99% of the increase in home prices in the United States. A real estate bubble is defined as an unexplained rapid increase in home prices, with my research providing a explanation for the real estate bubble. It simply didn't exist. There's no such thing as a real estate bubble.
Right. Now, Doc, we have about another minute before we go into our last break. In your opinion, what I've said this before, we've got to get those idiots out of office. From Biden, Harris on down, Sanders is still there. These people were in power during the Obama administration, and now they're in power during the Biden administration. We just got to get them out of office.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same cast of characters with the same policies. And so what we're going to end up is we're heading for a a recession, and the potential is a lot more significant, a lot more pain, a lot more hurt, a lot more destruction of the American dream based on these policies. And the very people who vote for these people are the ones who's going to end up suffering the most.
And all so, right, Doc, we'll be right back. We need to wait. We got to go into our last break. Folks, we'll be back after these messages. I think we will. There we go. Our mission is possible.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, we're talking to an expert on global finance, and I think it's very important for you to know that from 2008 up until 16, before President Trump, the Democrats were in office. And you see the same thing that is happening now with the gas, with the home prices, and inflation and all that. It's happening now because they're still here. And Dr. Waters is explaining why that happened and how it happened. All right, Doc, what else do you have for our audience regarding this whole situation with those idiots in Washington?
Well, I want people to understand what happened in 2008 is responsible for the shortage that we see today and the skyrocket in home prices. But the people in 2008, they didn't just lose their homes. People lost generational wealth. Not only did they lose their homes, but think about the equity these people would have in their homes today. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is Washington have done nothing to address the cause of what happened in 2008. I mean, it could happen again today because we've done nothing to ensure it can't happen again. And people need to understand that what they did when they passed Dodd-Frank, it restricted mortgage lending for a group of people who already mainly had challenges and in having access to capital. So I don't know how you solve a problem of people having access to mortgage lending by restricting mortgage lending for the same group of people who've historically had problems accessing capital. And what not only did they restrict mortgage lending for homeowners, but they actually made mortgage lending more liberal for investors. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right. Subprime loans never ended. It only ended for homeowners. Investors have had the full use of subprime mortgages as a tool to acquire homes and become millionaires, while the American people are told these subprime loans are so bad that they destroy the economy. I want people to think about this. If an investor can use subprime mortgages to buy 100 homes, how is one home being purchased using a subprime mortgage for someone that has to pay for housing anyway? How is that bad for the economy and investors can have use a subprime mortgage to buy 100 homes? So what you have investors coming into neighborhoods that are lower-income neighborhoods. They're buying up all the housing in these communities because the people who live in the community don't have access to lending to purchase the homes. And they turn around and they rent it to the same people in the community for three and four times of what they would have to pay for a mortgage. How does that solve a problem for the community? I mean, it's just, you know, it's really beyond belief that the people in Washington could be so stupid that they can't see what they're doing to these communities. And one of the things that you have happening in a lot of communities in the take, for instance, in South Florida, being close to the ocean is very desirable. So what they're doing now is investors are coming into these little communities, and because the people in the communities have no access to capital, what they're doing is they're paying cash and they're buying up all the properties that's located in the more desirable areas. And then what they're doing is they're pushing these little houses down and building multimillion mansions in these neighborhoods. You drive through the hood in South Florida, you might see a $3-4 million mansion in the middle of the hood, because what they're doing is they're pushing these people out of the communities, and they're not even building any more affordable housing because of all the restrictions that they put in place with Dodd-Frank. Lenders don't even want to do loans for less than $100,000. So in a lot of these smaller communities, the properties are completely depressed because there's really no market among the people that's living in the communities. And so that gives investors an opportunity to come in and buy up all these properties as for cash. And I'm sure your listening audience may have known people who get calls from these hedge funds and these holding companies, and you see all these advertisements where these companies are willing to pay cash for your house. Because what happened in 2008 have really destroyed the real estate market for homeowners in a lot of these communities.
Now, Doc, I have a question. Will you explain to our audience what Dodd-Frank bill was, what that bill was?
Yes. Well, Dodd-Frank bill
was senators
in response to the misinformation about subprime lending that blamed subprime lending for the collapse of the United States real estate industry, which my research proved was a complete lie. Subprime lending had nothing to do with the collapse of the real estate industry, but it restricted. It said that if you are a homeowner and you lived in a house, you could not use a subprime mortgage to borrow against your home.
Now what's a subprime mortgage?
A subprime mortgage is for people who have less than perfect credit.
Okay.
If you're a borrower living from paycheck to paycheck and your car breaks down, well, you're probably going to miss a payment because you need your car to go to work because you don't have the residual income and savings to maintain everything. But what happens if you own a home and you're making payments on the home, more than likely the value of the property is going up. At some point down the road, you could refinance your property, you could pull cash out, and you could get back on track. Mm-hmm. If you're living from paycheck to paycheck and you're paying rent, you never have any hope of catching up. The only way moderately and lower income families are ever going to accumulate any wealth during their lifetime is through home ownership, more than likely. And so when you take away opportunities for home ownership for lower income families, you put them at a significant disadvantage of climbing up the economic ladder. And I'm telling you, the people who lost their homes, the millions of American, lower income Americans who lost their homes in 2008, they didn't just lose their homes, they lost generational wealth. Because in many cases, if they had these same homes today, it would be worth, they would have hundreds of thousands of dollars in equity, and they literally, their life would have changed as a result of the increasing demand for homes.
All right, Doc.
To be held accountable.
Right. Doc, we really appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you back on. We have less than a minute. So I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure our audience does also. So we're at the you know, just think about what you said, absorb it, and we're going to have you back again, okay?
Okay, one thing I want to say real quick, if you want to find out more of my research, I am Dr. Edison, and it's E-D-D-I-S-O-N, and the last name is Walters. Edison is spelled with two D's, Walters. I also have a website you could visit. That's WGBRCC.com, as in Walters Global Business Resources Commercial Capital. There's a link to services and research. You can click on that link. You can find all my research. You can.
All right, Doc.
I have a LinkedIn, Facebook page where you can connect to all my research.
All right, Doc. We appreciate it. And folks, until next week, everybody, we enjoyed the show tonight. Vicon Dios, everyone.